Can we begin with hymn number 173? And verses 1, 2, and 5.
Good morning, and welcome into the house of the Lord. We thank God for each one who has come. And and I see we have someone new here, and welcome. And also Daniel is here, and Damien. But, we thank God for everyone who has come. Are there any greetings that we would want to give?
Oh, we have greetings from Syracuse.
Greetings from
my mother and I were last week.
From Syracuse. Thank you.
And greetings from John and Mary Lou.
And from John and Mary Lou. And we also went to Rose Bensel's on Tuesday, and she wants to be remembered also, and she was thankful that we came here yesterday, and even today is a clothing swap, and we are thankful for those who came for that. Our Wednesday night Bible study started last Wednesday, and it's continuing on this Wednesday in person and on Zoom. And our quarterly mission focus is the outreach in Ghana. And some of the upcoming events are September 22nd, which is this coming weekend, is the Ontario Sing in Windsor, Ontario. September 28th and 29th, the trustees, the foundation trustees, will be meeting here in church. And October 5 and 6 is Syracuse Fall Outing. October 13th is Skyline Drive. And Brother Phil is going to be the speaker at Skyline Drive. October 18th and 19th, the elders meeting in Toronto. And there are also a number of birthday cards in the back there. Let's see who it's. It's Riney Webble, will be 90 years old, was 90 year old yesterday. And Al Olja and Max Limegruber, Max Limegut is 81 today, and Jonathan Reinhardt on Friday. Are there any other things that need to be announced? If not, pray for Brother Harry as he would have the morning service. And I'd like if we could sing hymn number 339 in the Zion's Harp, the small black books. Thank you.
Blessed as we open God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. You have promised where two or three are gathered in your name that you would be there, and we rely on that promise. We rely on that you would teach us from this word. It's a living word, and may we live by it. May we read it, may we apply it to our hearts. And my prayer is that each one of us will leave this place blessed because we have read your word. We pray for the many that are not here with us today, that you would watch over them. But we're thankful that for those who have come, and especially the guests, we pray that they will also receive a blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again, for your presence here with us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Today our service will be on Matthew chapter 6, specifically verses 25 to 34, but I'm going to read the whole chapter so we see the whole context of this. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add some one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Excuse me. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for their heavenly Father knoweth that they have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you don't mind, I'm going to take my jacket off because it's very warm in here. So verse 25 starts off with the word therefore. And if you recall, Brother John Zoig always said when he saw that, you need to ask, what is the therefore there for? Jesus may be referring to all that he has taught since the Sermon on the Mount started in chapter 5, or he may be referring just to the previous thoughts and principles that he espoused to his disciples. When we looked at verses 22 to 24 in August, I said we needed to ask ourselves three questions. What do I seek? What do I see? And what do I serve? What do I seek? What is my treasure? What am I looking for? What do I see? What are my eyes fixed on? And what do I serve? Or who do I serve? In other words, what is my master? And we concluded that the answer to all those three questions is Jesus Christ. So I'm inclined to think that this therefore is referring back to verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God and money or things, materialism, at the same time. We might think we can, but in reality, we can't. We need to make a daily choice of who we serve. And in verses 25 to 34, Jesus expounds on that thought. In these verses, starting in verse 25, the King James word uses the word thought six times. We know that this word does not mean just to think about something. The NIV uses the word worry instead of the word thought, and the ESV uses the word anxious. The word thought here in the King James is the word merimnao. Not that it matters how we pronounce it. And it means to be troubled with cares. Its root word idea means to be drawn in two different directions, to be distracted, to be divided. And in Luke 10, Jesus was in Bethany with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet while Martha was busy serving. And Jesus said to her in verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. That word that is here, thought or worried or anxious, and troubled, you're bothered about many things. When we are worried and troubled about the cares of this life, we come divided and distracted from our devotion to God. So why do we worry? Why are we anxious? Jesus boils it down at the end of verse 30. O ye of little faith. That's the crux of what causes us to worry, to be anxious. Now I'm sad to admit that when Cheryl and I were getting married, I became anxious. I was worried if we had made the right decision. Well, after 50 years, I think the answer is yes. Worrying or being anxious is really saying, I don't trust God is taking care of me in this situation, in this life, in whatever, wherever I am right now. So, some examples. Worrying about finances can result in coveting what others have, or make us greedy to get more, or hoarding things, or even stealing. Worrying about accomplishing a task can make you irritable. And I know I've done that before. At work, I've got to get this done. I start worrying about it, and you know, you get jittery and irritable because of it. And worrying about how someone will respond to you may cause you to, you know, a little shade what's going on, cover the truth, or maybe even outright lie. How many sins would be avoided, be overcome, if we did not worry? So let's look at today's text. After the therefore, it says, therefore, I say unto you. In Matthew 5, we go back to Matthew 5, Jesus uses that phrase, I say unto you, six times. And he uses it when he's dealing with anger, lust, divorce, swearing or taking an oath, retaliation and dealing with enemies. And he was always saying, this is what the law said, but this is what I say unto you. You, as a child of the kingdom of heaven, need to be at a higher level than just following the law. Jesus was not making suggestions back in chapter 5. He was saying, you need to deal with these issues. Anger, lust, divorce, taking an oath, retaliation, enemies. Probably, some of them, on a daily basis. In all things, need to think through what it means to be a child of the King when you do that. He was giving them, his disciples, commands. He was giving us commands too. So when Jesus says, I say unto you, take no thought, don't be anxious, don't worry, it's not a suggestion. It's a command for us also. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Have faith in God. And in our text tells us not only to not to be anxious, but he looks at his creation and gives us examples of what that means. And it shows how he takes care of his creation and he takes care of us. So, first example Jesus gave was of birds. Birds don't plant their food or harvest their food. They go out and find food every day, what they need for the day. And I really enjoy watching pictures. Some people have cameras in bird houses, and they see the birds come in and take the seed, or they even have it in, not just feeders, but actually in the birdhouse, and they come in and they feed their young. You know, they find something and they feed their young. It just makes me smile to see how God ordained it, that these birds take care of themselves and their children. But just like Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The Father in heaven is taking care of the birds, and he'll take care of us also. Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? This verse can be taken two different ways. One way is to say, can I, by worrying, can I make myself taller? Or, as newer translations say, by worrying, can I add an hour to my life? The answer to either question is a resounding no. Now, there are things we probably could do to add an hour to our lives. In terms of how we eat and drink and take care of ourselves, we can prolong our life. But at the same time, worrying doesn't do that. And I think statistically it tells us people who worry have a shorter life because they're constantly, their metabolism is constantly going because of their worry. So it's really detrimental to someone's life. In the next set of verses, Jesus considers clothing. Are we anxious for our clothing? Jesus explains that the flowers in the field are clothed in more beauty than Solomon. And we just talked about Solomon this morning and all the riches that he had and the beauty that was around him. And here Jesus is saying the flowers of the field are more beautiful than Solomon was. And I remember traveling many years ago, I think it was probably on Route 80, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the median, between the two lanes of the highway, were these acres of flowers. And I'd never seen that before, and I think you see that more nowadays, you know. But somebody had decided to just throw flower seeds into that median. So instead of just tall grass, there was these beautiful flowers. And I'm sure many people that drove by there just smiled when they saw those flowers. Just the beauty of God's creation. It just warms my heart. Okay? And Jesus is saying these flowers are beautiful, but they only last a couple of days, and then they're gone. God will provide for us also, even more than He provided the beauty in those flowers. The clothing swap we had yesterday, I think, was a blessing to many that came and took clothing. We did not try to raise money. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to help those in the community that were in need. And I think it was a success. I'm not sure how many people came with the hour or so that we were here. I think at least a dozen came. Maybe 20, 30 people came. I think that's fantastic. I appreciate all those of us who have donated, and I pray that people took more than they brought also. But we were able to help those that had a need, and worrying about clothing doesn't accomplish anything other than makes us unhappy, fearful, and it doesn't honor God. And again, the end of verse 30 is critical. O ye of little faith. The main reason for worry is not having faith that God will take care of us, be it food, be it clothing, whatever it may be. Times may be difficult, and we may have hardships, but through it all, we need to trust that God knows what is best for us and will take care of us. My heart aches when I see the devastation from floods or hurricanes or tornadoes. That's when the church needs to come to the aid of those in need. You and I are the church. We need to rely daily on God for all of our needs. Now, do these verses mean we should not have food in our refrigerators or freezers or clothing in our closets? No, I don't think it says that. I think it talks more about the people of Jesus' day who had very little, and they literally had to go day by day to get their food. They didn't have the concept of a refrigerator back then. They had two, maybe three changes of clothes. That's all they had. Now, when you look out there, hundreds of changes of clothes are available. If we become fearful about what we don't have, if our refrigerator is not fully stocked, or if our closets are kind of bare, if we become fearful and worry, oh, what am I going to wear? I've got to make sure I look good the next time I go to the office. Then we end up suffering, and we don't honor God. And if people see that worry, they're going to come and think, that is a Christian, and they're worried about what they're wearing? That's a poor witness. We need to constantly put our faith and trust in God. In Philippians 4, 6-8, it says, be careful for nothing. That word careful is the same word anxious or worry in the Greek. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. For the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That needs to be our focus. Not what we might think we lack, but on who God is and all of the things that He's provided for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, Paul writes, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Because we shouldn't be worried about our food and clothing doesn't mean we should just sit back and say, "Okay, life is as it is. God will provide. I'll wait for Him to provide." Paul clearly is saying, no. You need to put some your own emphasis, your own work into providing for yourself. I mean, that's a pretty hard saying. If they work and eat their own bread, if they don't eat, work, they shouldn't eat. So if somebody is starving because they're not working, that Paul is saying, that's right. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of those who are in need. If you remember in Acts 6, men were selected to help the apostles, to help those who were in need. There are people truly in need. There are people who can't take care of themselves. Well, then again, that's where the church needs to come and help. And Jesus sums all of these things up in verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." First of all, it's not our own righteousness. It's His righteousness. Matthew 5, 6, the fourth beatitude says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We need to daily seek His righteousness to have the proper perspective on our lives. We cannot allow worry or fear to dictate how we live. And this verse promises, as God takes care of the birds, He will also care for us, because we are more precious than the birds are to Him. So how diligently should we seek the Lord? Well, about a month ago, the family was over, and a day or so later, Luke sends me a text, says, "Did you find my watch? I can't find my watch." So I knew he had been laying on the couch, so I went and looked in the couch, took the cushions off, looked, no watch. Looked at the places where I knew he had been sitting, no watch. I told him, we didn't find it. And he said, "Okay, I still don't have it." So next day, Cheryl went and looked. She took the couch almost apart. She reached down in all the crevices of that couch, places you don't want to put your hand down. No watch. She did find a New Balance gift card, $20, expired in 2018. So guess we haven't looked in that. We haven't seeked in that couch for a long time. Okay. Well, thankfully, Luke did find his watch at home. So, seeking is something that requires effort. It is not saying, "Oh, look, I can see something in the distance." No, it's earnestly searching. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." So we need to seek. That's a very active role. And then first, not, I'll get around to it. And I think many of us, as we think about our lives, as we have made decisions to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, too many times we said, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to reading the Bible. I'll get around to giving my life to the Lord. That doesn't work. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what's critical. Seek first. There are many hymns that talk about seeking the Lord. The choristers sang a song, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And he is there, waiting to be sought out by us. And another one is called Step by Step, and I'm just going to read the chorus. Wrong chorus. I lost it. Oh, well. Okay. We need to seek the Lord continually. And it's not something that we can say, okay, I sought him last week, I'm fine, I'm done, I don't need to seek him. That's something we need to do every day of our lives, to seek the Lord, to find out what his plan for us for today is. As we start our day, we should pray to ask him to guide us, to direct us, to show us where to go, and to be the light he has called us all to be, to serve him. We don't know what's going to happen that day. At least I don't know what's going to happen on any given day. Things might get very difficult. We all have different issues that we're dealing with. Cancer, bad knees, death of a spouse, death of a child, heart problems, job loss. We've all dealt with those things from one extreme to another. What do we do when we face those situations? Clearly, the scripture is teaching us we need to seek the Lord in those times. We need to not become anxious, to worry, to become fearful. Last night I was falling asleep. The Holy Spirit revealed people who have to deal with some very severe issues in their lives. Johnny Erickson Tata, if you remember that name, quadriplegic. She dove into the Bay of Maryland, broke her neck. She's now, that was when she was under 20. Now she's, I think, 70 or over 70. She didn't know what this meant for her life. What she thought her life will be was totally changed. And she admits that she thought of suicide. It was just so desperate. But then she sought the Lord. And God revealed to her that he had a plan for her life. Even though, you know, when you think back on how could I have a life where my neck is broken and I hardly can move my arms and my legs can't move and I can talk and I can think, but that's about it. If you go back and look at her story, she learned to draw with a pencil in her lips. And she made beautiful pictures that way. I mean, I can't imagine doing that. Another one, Nick Vujicic. A man, a child born without arms and legs. What could he do with his life? Talk about somebody that might be discouraged and have worry and be anxious. And he also says he tried to commit suicide, but God prevented that. And now he has a worldwide ministry, literally worldwide. He goes to hundreds of countries preaching Jesus Christ. He would have loved to have, and he prayed many times, let me wake up with arms and legs. He never did. But he got something much more beautiful, a ministry that teaches people to trust in God, to seek God with all their hearts. And their lives can be transformed even when things don't make sense. And the last one is Laura's story. A young woman, just married. I don't remember the details, but her husband ends up with a brain tumor. And their lives are destroyed, so to speak. But she was a Christian. He was a believer. And they allowed the seeking of the Lord to transform their lives. He didn't get better. He still has the brain tumor. Their lives, basically you could say, is a new normal, but what they thought their life would be like wasn't that at all. But they sought the Lord in their lives. I don't think I'll find this song either. Yeah, I'll just read this chorus. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it makes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? If we seek the Lord, then the Lord will find us where we are and will be there to comfort us. Maybe not the way we think it should be, but the way He knows we need it to be. And that's what we need to put our trust in every day. So I'd like us to close slightly different by singing Seek Ye the Lord. Here's three verses. I'd like us to sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 1 again as the closing. I think we know the tune. seek first the kingdom of God every day of our lives. May God bless His word.
Thank you, Brother Harry and Brother Mike, for serving in God's word today. And I think a lot has been said, and a lot has been, we've looked into that even Solomon, who was such a wise person, that his life took a turn, and then he didn't always trust in God fully as he should. And I think that happens in a lot of people's lives, and I think that's a way of foolishness instead of wisdom, which he was known for. And I think even for me, I was thinking, well, we have to go to God for everything and ask Him and thank Him for everything. Because I was thinking, well, God didn't come to me when He was creating the universe or the earth and say, how should I do this? I wasn't even there. God created me much later on. But don't I trust Him to take care of my life? If He created a universe, if He created a world like that, if He created the sun and the moon and all the things that we see, and we can appreciate His creation, He certainly can help me with my life. And we have to come to Him in faith and to know that He would He can take care of that. And we have to have that trust in Him. And it's not only important for this life, but if for the life that we have in eternity, we really have to have lived that life in this life and have come to Him. So we really need to thank God and to seek Him. Maybe arise for prayer, for a closing prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank You for feeding us with Your word this morning. And we ask that we would all take a look at our lives and to see how You have guided us and directed us in times past, and how wonderful a God that You are that knows our lives even than we know ourselves. And we ask that You would increase our faith in You, and that we would come to You in all aspects of our lives and come and seek Your will and seek Your way. And we thank You for the words that we have heard today, and ask that You would embed them deep in our hearts so that we would trust in You. And Lord, as we would partake of a meal this morning, this noon, that we would thank You for the food and bless it to serve to strengthen our bodies so that we could do Your will and that we could honor You and praise You in all that we say and do. We thank You again for being with us and watching over us, for we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.